Founded in 1729, Arlington Street continues today as a gathering place for progressive people of faith in the greater Boston area and beyond. We are located at the corner of Arlington and Boylston Streets, across from the Public Garden in Boston, Massachusetts. Arlington Street Church, gathered in love and service for justice and peace.
I'm thinking this morning of Rumi's guest house. You know the one, you've heard about it. This being human is a guest house. Every morning a new arrival, a joy, a depression, a meanness. Some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all. Even if they are a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture, still treat each guest honorably. But what about the elephant in the room, the one that just burst into our guest house in January, intent on dismantling much of what we, as members of a liberal faith community, hold dear? A trumpeting elephant leaving destruction in its trail. Shattered bits of stone, glass, and metal. Things that once made up the furniture of our guest house. Rumi challenges us to welcome them all. Somehow, though, I've always envisioned these unexpected visitors as temporary. Certainly not here to stay for 4 years. But here we are. The MAGA movement now controls the presidency, the House, and the Senate, and has a supermajority in the Supreme Court. Progressive causes have taken a whomping. So what now? How do we progressives begin to cultivate a sense of equanimity that will allow us to navigate the current and upcoming challenges with a certain sense of grace and composure? Hope alone, at least Emily Dickinson's version of it, doesn't seem equal to the task. I hope the government doesn't really enact a policy of sustained mass deportations. I hope the president isn't serious when he says he's going to take over Greenland, the Panama Canal, Canada, and the Gaza Strip. I hope we don't have a full-scale war in Iran. But hope seems thin. While hope can help point us towards the goal, it doesn't give us a good view on the terrain that lies in front of us, between where we find ourselves and where we want to go. So how do we make sense of what has happened and move forward? In her book, Finding Beauty in a Broken World, Terry Tempest Williams offers a way of healing and making meaning of a world shattered. After the Twin Towers collapsed, she wrote, "How to pick up the pieces? What to do with those pieces? I was desperate to retrieve the poetry I had lost. Standing on a rocky point in Maine, looking east towards the horizon at dusk, I faced the ocean. Give me one wild word. It was all I asked of the sea. The tide was out. The mudflats were exposed. A gull picked up a large white clam, hovered high above the rocks, and dropped it. The clam broke open, and the gull swooped down to eat the fleshy animal inside. She asked the sea again, give me one wild word to follow. And the word the sea rolled back to me was mosaic. A mosaic, she explains, is a conversation between what is broken. What you see from a distance is not what you see up close. Mosaic became the way I perceived the world. Break it up and recreate a unity. In a mosaic, she says, I recreate an order out of the shards. She concludes, we create the future through a rearrangement of forms, what we have learned from our past. So how do we, like Terry Tempest Williams, pick up the broken pieces and put them together in some hopeful, meaningful way? I don't exactly know, but I suspect the answer may lie in picking up the pieces of shattered glass, stone, and metal, examining them together, and then wondering how we, as members of a liberal faith community, might fit them together into the mosaic that we are called to build for these challenging times. As the pieces start to come together, the outline of a picture may begin to take form. Or in a way, each piece is a bit like a part of a story, like an act in an episode of This American Life. As the acts unfold and build upon each other, a storyline emerges and reminds us of many familiar things we have seen, heard, and known before. Consider this. Act One. I wish this had never happened. From The Lord of the Rings, picture this. Frodo, Gandalf, and the rest of the Fellowship are lost in the deepest, darkest mines of Moria. Frodo is carrying the One Ring, a ring of immense power. Evil follows and threatens in the shadows. Frodo has already been stabbed, an injury that almost killed him, but he must continue. Frodo says to Gandalf, I wish the ring had never come to me. I wish none of this had ever happened. And Gandalf replies, so do all who live to see such times, but that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to us. As a people of liberal faith, what will we do with the time that is given to us? Act Two. In the unlikely event of a water landing. On January 15th, 2009, just moments after taking off from LaGuardia Airport, US Airways Flight 1549 struck a flock of Canada geese, causing an immediate and complete loss of power to both engines. In a true display of calm and skilled piloting, Captain Sully quickly assessed the nearby airports. Due to the low altitude, he determined that a controlled water landing in the Hudson River was their best chance of survival. Workers in Manhattan later recounted seeing the jet pass just outside their office windows, realizing it was headed for the river. Eyewitnesses watched the descent in astonishment. Just before landing, Captain Sully famously instructed his passengers, brace for impact, a phrase no air traveler ever wants to hear. Once the plane hit the water, though, the well-trained crew swiftly coordinated the evacuation. The aircraft's inflatable slides actually did deploy, and the passengers quickly exited onto the wings and the rafts. Within minutes, ferries and emergency responders were on site, assisting all 155 passengers and crew to safety. Like Captain Sully and his crew, we too have trained for emergency maneuvers. We can do this. Fasten your seatbelts. Brace for impact. Act 3. It's like deja vu all over again. As the late great baseball catcher Yogi Berra said, it's deja vu all over again. The nation is showing its racist, xenophobic, protectionist, and imperialistic tendencies again. It's nothing new. It's part of what America has shown itself to be throughout long stretches of its history, going all the way back to its colonial founding. The enslavement and genocide of First Nations peoples, the Three-Fifths Compromise, the Know-Nothing Party of the 1840s and 50s that sought to take away the vote of Irish Catholic citizens, the Jim Crow laws that arose out of the collapse of Reconstruction, the Chinese Exclusion Act of 1882 that banned Chinese immigration, imperialist expansion in the Philippines, Hawaii, and Panama, the Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act of 1930, which exacerbated a worldwide depression. Here we are again. Today, it's about trade, tariffs, wokeness, immigration, mass deportation, and an unapologetic turn to viewing world politics through a 19th century lens of great powers. It's hard to deny. It's deja vu all over again. In the immediate wake of the election, to the despondent and to the disillusioned, Venus Williams, not the tennis champion, but the black woman founder of the Progressive Catholic Voice, offered the following words. You are awakening to the same country you fell asleep to, the very same country. Pull yourself together. And when you see me, do not ask me, what do we do now? How do we get through the next 4 years? Some of my ancestors dealt with at least 400 years of this under worse conditions. Continue to do the good work. Continue to build bridges, not walls. Continue to lead with compassion. Continue the demanding work of liberation for all. Continue to dismantle broken systems, large and small. Continue to set the best example for the children. Continue to be a vessel of nourishing joy. And continue right where you are. Right where you live into your days. Act 4. Hold on to your hat. North Brooklyn, Maine, March 30, 1973. Dear Mr. Nadeau, as long as there is one upright person, as long as there is someone compassionate, the contagion may spread and the scene is not desolate. Hope is the thing that is left to us in a bad time. I shall get up Sunday morning and wind the clock as a contribution to order and steadfastness. It is quite obvious that the human race has made a queer mess of life on this planet. But as a people, we probably harbor seeds of goodness that have lain for a long time waiting to sprout when the conditions are right. Humankind's curiosity, relentlessness, inventiveness, and ingenuity have led us into deep trouble. We can only hope that these same traits will enable us to claw our way out. Hang on to your hat, hang on to your hope, and wind the clock, for tomorrow is another day. Sincerely, E.B. White. Act 5. What would Jesus do? It's hard to square white Christian nationalist support for mass deportations with the teachings of Jesus. In Luke 10, Jesus tells his audience, "Love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus then explains who the neighbor is by telling the parable of the Good Samaritan. We all know the story. A priest and then a Levite passed by another Jew on the side of the road who'd been attacked by bandits and left for dead. Now, as co-religionists, as neighbors, Jesus' audience would have expected the priest and the Levite to stop and help, but they didn't. We in the audience think, bad priest, bad Levite, you didn't love your neighbor. But that's not quite the point of the parable. For then a Samaritan, a foreigner, someone whom Jesus' audience would have considered less than, and certainly other than, stops and helps him. Jesus explains that the Samaritan was the neighbor, the one who showed mercy. Jesus concludes, go and do likewise. In the parable, Jesus challenges his audience to expand their concept of neighbor, to stretch it out beyond members of one's own nation, religion, and race. It is the foreigner, the stranger, the other whom we are called to love as ourselves. Not just those who look, sound, and believe as we do. The good neighbor is the one who shows mercy. This parable is a great reminder for Christian nationalists. But in our highly polarized society, it's hard to imagine to whom I would even ask this question, what would Jesus do? I don't know many people who didn't vote the way I did. Not in my family, my workplace, my house of worship, school, my social media feeds, or friend groups. So where and how can we build bridges and not walls? What are the common threads that bind us one to the other? Final act, 6. We need a miracle. On December 26, 2004, a magnitude 9.3 earthquake occurred off the coast of Sumatra. It caused a tsunami, which proved to be one of the most deadly natural disasters in recorded history. At the time, 8-year-old British schoolgirl Amber Owen was visiting Phuket, Thailand, with her mom and her stepdad. They were staying right on a beach resort. Over the course of several previous days, Amber had struck up a little friendship at the beach with a baby elephant named Ning Nong. Tourists could feed him bananas and pet him. On the morning of the tsunami, when it struck, Amber was riding on Ning Nong's back on the beach. Oddly, the ocean water began to slowly crawl back, out, away from the shore. As it did, many people on the beach followed the retreating water out towards the ocean, collecting stranded fish. Others continued to sunbathe, looking on, curiously. But Ning Nong, the baby elephant, was alert and alarmed. In an interview years later with The Telegraph, Amber said, "People were going into the sea to pick up fish, but the elephant kept trying to get away. I didn't know what a tsunami was, but he could clearly sense there was danger." With Amber on his back, Ning Nong started to run in the opposite direction of the crowd, away from the now waterless beach, towards higher ground. And then the water came. 230,000 people across 14 countries perished in the tsunami, many carried out to sea. Amber concluded her interview, "As the water came in, I was safely on his back. He saved my life." My friends, we are indeed at the beginning of difficult times. like Terry Tempest Williams, we can help shape the future by rearranging the shattered forms of what we have learned from our broken, imperfect past. We can create a mosaic, a shared vision based on our Unitarian Universalist values, all centered around the core value of love. I wish this had never happened. So do all who live to see such times. But that is not for us to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time given to us. Like Captain Sully and his crew, we have trained for emergencies. We can help land this plan safely. The nation's history reminds us we've been here before. It is deja vu all over again. Continue to do the good work. Continue to build bridges, not walls. Hang on to your hat and hang on to your hope, whether it's Emily's little bird or Caitlin's sewer rat. Let us look for ways and places to water the seeds that have lain dormant for a long time in others, waiting to sprout when the conditions are right. What would Jesus do? Love your neighbors as you love yourself. And yes, let us be open to the wonder of the possibility of miracles. Not all elephants cause destruction. Each is a new arrival, an unexpected visitor. We never know in what forms our better angels may appear. I didn't know what a tsunami was, but Ning Nong saved my life. May it be so. Blessed be. Amen.
Our closing words this morning are by women's rights advocate and social justice activist, L.R. Nost.
Here's to the bridge builders, the hand holders, the light bringers, those extraordinary souls wrapped in ordinary lives who quietly weed threads of humanity into an inhumane world. They are the unsung heroes in a world at war with itself. They are the whisperers of hope that peace is possible. Look for them in the present darkness. Light your candle with their flame. And then go, build bridges, hold hands, bring light to a dark and desperate world. Be the hero you are looking for. Peace is possible. It begins with us.
Love is the spirit of this congregation. May love hold us all until we meet again. Let us keep this faith, beloveds, and pass it on.
The service begins when the service ends. Bless your hearts. We love you.
For your
We are located at the corner of Arlington and Boylston Streets, across from the Public Garden in Boston, Massachusetts. Arlington Street Church, gathered in love and service for justice and peace.